Please open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Begin our reading there in just a moment. Beginning in verse 13. In regards to these people that we read of in Hebrews 11, men and women of faith, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Most people are interested in traveling, going places, seeing new things, going to other countries. But faithful men and women of God are people who are looking, as they travel through life, are looking for a better place than where we are now, looking for a better world. These people we read of here in Hebrews 11 and verse 13 are people who died in faith and referred to as strangers and pilgrims on the earth, that they desired a better, that is, a heavenly country. For God has prepared a city for them. He has prepared a city for all of us. Please join in with these two songs. Here we are, but straying pilgrims, followed by This World Is Not My Home.
Oh, here we are, but straying pilgrims. Here our path is often dim, but to cheer on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Here on earth, as we travel through life, we're on a journey to a new world. The certainty of this trip is seen in God's word. Many trips are planned that we plan through life, and yet we know that sometimes we follow through, sometimes we have to cancel or postpone a trip to another time. But the certainty of this trip, I mean, it's certain. There's nothing else we can say about it. Hebrews 9:27, the Hebrew writer said, it is appointed for men to die once. We find in James 4, verse 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. David wrote, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll by. Hallelujah, by and by I'll fly away.
We returned from most trips. Lord willing, I plan to return home this week. I talked to my wife this afternoon, and I just want to go home now if I could. But I love being at home. But this journey that we're on, this trip, there's no return. In Job 16:22, for when a few days are finished, I shall go the way of no return. David said in regards to the death of his son, 2 Samuel 12:23, but now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. My father passed away 6 years ago yesterday. He and I were the best of friends. We truly had a great love for one another. As I was going through some of their things the other night, as we're moving out of their home and getting rid of things, I ran across a card that he sent to me when I was 5 years old. Written on a 3x5 card, and he put a stamp on one end. He was away in a meeting, and he just wrote to me. And I said to my daughter, I said, I've never seen this. And I read just a little note that my father wrote to me, how he couldn't wait till he got home to see me. I said, I've never seen this before. I've never read it before. I said, yeah, you did. You read it when you were five. I said, well, that's been a long, long time ago. And I think about him being away and being gone, but I wouldn't want him to come back to this world, to this life. He lived his life to go where he is now. And those you know who are faithful men and women who've passed on, this is what they were looking forward to. So what we're looking forward to is going to a much better place. Well, let's talk a little bit about preparation. You wouldn't think of taking a trip without preparing for it. I mean, I asked my wife yesterday, look on the map and let me know. Tell me what's Google telling me about what I need to wear when I'm in Alabama. And I wished I had brought something a little warmer this morning. But then again, we make preparation when we make a trip. We used to go to AAA and get maps, and now we go online and we look for hotels to visit and restaurants we can go to and other things. And we look into maybe how we're going to take care of the mail while we're gone. Or we're going to hold the mail or have someone pick it up. Who's going to take care of the animals while we're away? We make all these preparations. And I really appreciate the people, though, who call me and say, hey, we're going to be in your area on a certain weekend and we want to be there to worship. These are people that really prepare. They have their priorities where they need to be. That's encouraging to be around people like that. But we've got to prepare for this trip due to the fact that we sin. See, the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we sin, our relationship with God is not what it needs to be, what it's got to be. Sin separates us from God, and our relationship is certainly affected by it. But the Bible tells us to prepare. Amos 4, verse 12, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. In John 14, verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I used to hear preachers say this a lot when I was growing up. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. People who are prepared to go. It's already prepared for us. In Matthew 24, verse 42 through 44, Jesus said, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. You ever think about that? It could be any time. It could be before we even leave here tonight. We just don't know. You know what else we need? Guidance. My wife took a trip with her mom and dad and her two sisters back in about 2010. I was a little disappointed that they didn't invite me to go with them. But then when I realized it was going to be four females and this is my father-in-law, I thought, I don't think I need to go. But they went on a trip to Europe, and they were going to cover 10 countries in 21 days. I've never, I've, matter of fact, we ran across some things of my wife's trip the other day, and my daughter said, "What are we going to do with this, Dad?" And I said, "Burn it." She said, "Burn it?" I said, "I've never heard your mom talk about this trip. I don't think it was all that much fun." Because one thing the guy had told them, you're not on vacation. You're on a marathon here. We've got to cover 10 countries here quick. And she said, it was nerve-wracking being on that trip. But she said, "I'm glad we had him. Here we made all this preparation before we went to Europe with our getting things ready and getting our passport together and knowing what we could carry in our bags. And there was a limit on the number of pounds we could carry with us. But I know one thing, getting there, it was good to have him to guide us through all those countries." We need a guide, because we're unable to find the way to heaven alone. See, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. What did Jeremiah say in Jeremiah 10, 23? "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps." So we need help, don't we? I love this passage because my wife loved it so much. I remember seeing this on a mirror in our bathroom. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Who's our guide? Jesus offered to be our guide. In John 6, in verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." He said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life, leading to eternal life." In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Oh, so walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep veil, Jesus has said, "I'll never forsake thee." Promise divine that never can fail. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. We have God's word to guide us. God and his word, the Bible, is our roadmap. Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What do we do with this, the word of God, our roadmap? We study it like you would any map. Why? Well, you want to find out where you are and where you're headed. Have you ever noticed that when you stop at a rest area, or you stop even if you're in the mall, and you go over to the directory, you go over to the map, you say, "Where am I right now? I want to go here, but where am I now?" And that's true when it comes to life. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul told Timothy, "Study, be diligent to present yourself approved to God." In Isaiah 34, verse 16, Isaiah said, "Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail." I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 8, if you would, please. I think it's very interesting. Here we find in Isaiah, the prophet, where it says, "Search from the word of the Lord and read, and not one of these shall fail." And we look over here in Acts chapter 8. And we start with verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah, the prophet." We just got through reading from Isaiah. "Search from the book of the Lord and read." So then Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Interesting, isn't it? Unless someone guides me. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And now they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But I'll tell you one thing, he knew where he was now. He didn't know where he was before. He didn't understand what he was reading unless somebody could tell him and guide him. And that's what Philip did. Philip was able to say, here's where you are, but here's where you want to go. And here's what you got to do to get there. So important to understand that God's word is our roadmap. And you know what's wonderful about it? It's all sufficient. It needs no updates. No updating at all. God's word is sufficient. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And there's only one way. Jesus is the way. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Oh, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life.
Eternal life. That's where we're headed. Eternal life. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's sad. There are few who find it. It's through obedience. Obedience to the gospel of Christ. There's only one right way to go. You've got to hear his word and understand his word and believe in Jesus. It was Jesus who said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8:24. It was Jesus who said, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What does that mean to repent? It means to turn your life around. I mean, when you think about it, you're going one direction away from God. It means stop and turn around and go toward Him. I heard someone say, if you're headed in the wrong direction in life, in the highway of life, God allows U-turns. Come back toward Him. It was Jesus who said, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. It was Jesus who said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I hear people say, well, I don't believe that's what Jesus meant. Really? What about all these other things that he said about believing and repenting and confessing? Why not take him at his word? He is our guide. Why are there so many people listen to someone else for instruction that leads them away from God? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. It's through baptism you can put on Christ. He is the way. Why not get into His way? His way. It's an upward way. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then you think about the reward at the end of the way. Think about the words of Paul when he was in that Roman prison near the end of his life, writing to his beloved Timothy, and he says, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. There may be someone here tonight who has not come to know Christ. Now's the time to do it. Zion's call. Why not come to Him responding to the invitation of our Lord? Not my invitation, but His. He invites you now while we stand and sing.